Episode 39 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is June 24th, 2012. I am Matthew Furlough, and this is my BroSoft, James Furlough.
Hey, Matthew. That was awkward. I'm a BroSoft, huh?
I try to make him relevant to whatever is going on. There's like nothing going on today.
I gotcha.
So I was just trying to, you know.
Oh, I thought it was after Microsoft. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what I thought the connection was. Of course.
There's nothing else. This is a difficult job, James. This week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera that is corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, and their marketing campaigns. And occasionally, we'll even talk about the technology they're developing. Before we get into the meat of the show, James has a short disclosure to carry us through.
So I work for HP, who is experiencing a new low in the stock price, which is awesome for those of us who have stocks in HP. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP's opinion. So I should always say I when referring to HP stuff instead of saying we. And if I do happen to say we, I meant to say I. No, really.
Cool. All right. If you'd like to follow us throughout the week, not just on Sunday during the show, which I don't blame you, we're pretty awesome, you can go to our Twitter accounts. My Twitter handle is at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough.
And the show is at Furlough Bros. That's, you know, good stuff all the way around there. Check that out. Also, you can go to our Google page, and we have a Facebook page, both under the Furlough Bros podcast. And this is the most important one, so we mention this every week, furloughbros.com. It's an awesome resource. Put all the articles, all the videos, downloads, podcasts. This is our central location. Any information you need, you want to share with people, go there, check it out. It is awesome.
So it totally looks like you're wearing, like, plastic toy headphones right now.
Oh, all right. Well, so I went out and bought they're called Skull Candy headphones.
What are they called? Skull Candy?
They're called Skull Candy, yeah.
Okay.
They're the candy for your skull. And I've always really liked the company. They have a couple of really sweet headphones. They have one I'm working up to. It's a $160 pair of headphones. I haven't quite figured out how to justify it. These were like $30, so I was like, that's all right. They really good sound quality and stuff. So
does my voice sound great?
It sounds fantastic.
Cool.
It gives you that weird, like, you know how like the bass when it's really good, like you can feel it throughout you, but like it, you know, but it sounds a certain way too. These headphones get like the sound right, but just none of like the forceful impact. So I like them. They're good.
All right.
And people comment on them all the time, like, I like your headphones. Like, thanks, man.
There you go. And you have people like me who make fun of them.
Yeah, I think that's what people are doing behind my back.
Well, it totally reminds me of those. Remember those, like, blue solar calculators in elementary school where it was, like, they had the 9 keys? That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Ouch.
Toys, really.
They're awesome, James. Don't bash.
Okay, all right. Maybe it's just the video. It's the video. I'm having trouble.
Sure. No, I have a feeling you wouldn't like them no matter what.
Love you too.
Anyway, so we usually like to start the show off with like a small article, just kind of get something out of the get it out of the way before we get into the real meat of the show. So, small article this week for me. Microsoft announced a tablet. JK.
Moving on.
that was kind of a big deal, so we might actually come back around to that. But so my short story, is has to do with tablets, though. Phone maker, tablet maker, LG, has made a big decision, big announcement about their tablet division. LG is obviously goes with Google's operating system for everything they're doing, phones, tablets, and
AKA Android.
What did I call it?
You just said you didn't. You were just like, yes, their operating system for everything.
Yeah, Android. And on Monday, they kind of quietly announced that they will no longer be making tablets for Google.
Did they say why?
Basically, what they said was they're not making any money, and they don't think they're going to make any money. Yeah, the long and short of it was, we can compete against other Android makers, but we can't compete against Apple. So if, you know, in the phone market where we're going up against Samsung and HTC, we stand a chance. But in the tablet market, we're pretty much going toe-to-toe against Apple. There is no other market share to eat up. So we're not going to do that, which is not good news. Not good news for, I think, really Microsoft or Apple when you have pretty, you know, it's not the end all be all, but it's just, you know, when as Google and Microsoft, obviously this week and next week, are going to be gearing up for some sort of a big tablet presence, you got their partners just like, yeah, we're not going to run this race anymore. It's fun, but we're stepping out, you know, and just a kind of a foreboding,
for the week. You expect consolidation in any space after a while. It seems like this one's happening a little fast.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's what, it's a sign of, you know, it's a sign of the fact that Apple is just unparalleled in that market space at this point. Nobody else has figured it out, and you know, I think that if Google does step up with their Nexus Tab, or you know, when we actually get our hands on the Microsoft tablets, there's definitely room there, I think, but Apple is consolidating now awfully quickly.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting indeed. We'll see where we know where that's going, but the way of the rim or dodo. That was a little, just get that in there. Speaking of, I don't know if we can call this tablets. I got it on my phone. Have you ever used Flipboard?
No.
I recommend downloading it onto your iPod Touch.
Yeah,
it was first originally made for the iPad, and then they brought it to the phone, and I'm guessing also the iPod Touch. Basically, it's a really cool app for reading news feeds, whether it's Twitter, your Google Reader, Facebook, other newsy sources, that kind of thing. It was one of those apps where I downloaded it a while ago and then just kind of forgot about it. And, you know, you flip through it and you go, wow, really cool graphics, which they are really cool. But they also now added Google Plus, so you can see your Google Plus streams. You can also tweet and do all status updates from all those accounts too. But it's just a really cool and easy way to read the news. I wish they had a way to reverse the order to go like oldest to newest, and it always seems to be newest to oldest, which I'm like, why? But you know, but it's pretty cool little app.
What are those called?
It's an RSS reader.
It's an RSS reader. Okay.
Twitter and Facebook.
Functionally, that's what it does.
Yeah. And I use that pretty much exclusively all week to read my news, and it worked pretty well. I would read it and then save it to like Instapaper if I wanted to really dive deep and save it for later.
Nice.
Because I got a free guy.
I still use the Google Plus, not the Google Plus. I still use Google Readers, their mobile website, and I've always been amazed by how snappy it is, compared to other native apps. You know, we were always told native apps are better because they're faster and they, you know, they take advantage of the core APIs, whereas you need to download the entire website and it just doesn't work as well. But I, for whatever reason, I actually, you know, I just have it saved as, I have the web page saved as a as an button. App on my desktop, and so
my, it's good. And I mean, and
I'll try it out.
Honestly,
though,
that's what I used up until this week, and I don't. I'll probably jump back and forth. I mean, knowing me, I don't. But it's worth looking at. And now they got Google Plus, so you can see all those in there too. So something did happen on Monday, which you did allude to.
Yes.
And that's something we mentioned it last Sunday, was Microsoft held an event, and they were, it was very Apple-esque in the sense that they were like, it's in Los Angeles. We're not even telling you the location or the exact time until like it happens, pretty much. You know, they were, I mean, to the point where they're like, you show up to this spot, we'll put a bag over your head, we'll drive you to some random location, and then you'll see it. I mean, it was, like crazy. And that's pretty much what Apple does, except they've been doing it for so long now that it's a tradition. We all know it's coming. We just don't always necessarily know what's exactly in the event, even though we all tend to know what they're going to talk about.
Right.
And this was, same thing happened with Microsoft. By the time it came around, everyone was like, we hear it's a tablet.
Yeah.
That's all we know. At first it was like, they're buying Yammer. And they're like, why would you hold a press conference for buying Yammer? I don't. They didn't for Skype. I don't understand. So,
You know, maybe if they were about to buy Nokia, that might be worth holding a press conference like that. But
maybe,
you know.
Yeah. So, so they held an event and they unveiled, wait for it, a tablet.
Woo!
Yeah, and it's called Surface, not to be confused with the really big table.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I was like, really? You guys are gonna go with the exact same branding as that, as your Surface table thing? Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, there's, you know, people look at that Surface tablet thing and they play with it, and number one, almost nobody gets to use it in depth, so like all you get is like the showcase, wow, this is kind of cool experience with it. So I feel like Surface does have a pretty good, you know, not fantastic, but, you know, especially if you're a long time listener to the show, you know that we make fun of it. But to the general consumer, it actually does have a pretty good name behind it. You know?
Yeah, it's a good name. I mean they're gonna figure out ways to mess it up because it's gonna be Surface with Windows 8 Pro. 9/11 right. Or whatever. That's not that, but 550. I was trying to think of three numbers, and that one was the very first one. But you know what I mean. They're gonna add some numbers to it, and you know it's gonna be a super long thing. It'll never just be called "Get the Surface." It'll be
No. Okay, you just did something there.
What did I do?
And you just called it the Surface. It's not the Surface. It's Surface.
Oh, just like it's iPad. Yeah,
exactly. They pulled the Apple. They dropped the article, which, you know, it's in, you know, I understand
whatever.
Why you do that, because
I don't.
Oh, you know, I'm gonna make a point. You know, I make a point of calling it iPad. I'll make a point of calling it Surface.
Okay.
You know, in fairness.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. I don't try to stop myself. I'm like, whatever. So, I mean, hopefully all listeners here they've seen the video of it.
Well, let's give a quick tech demo.
Yeah, okay, okay.
You know, I feel like it's possible that you missed what it is.
So, it's a tablet.
Yes.
I don't think I actually have any articles that, like, bullet point it down what it is to make it easy to read.
Yeah, that drives me nuts. Like, that wasn't, I couldn't find that for,
they made a video,
any of their big announcement. Yeah.
But it's so it's got like, it's like an iPad. I don't know.
Yeah.
Running.
I'll pick it up. It's a 10-inch iPad.
Yeah,
it's
thank
a
you.
10-inch iPad. It's a 10-inch tablet. It comes, it's running, or it's got two different versions, one Metro RT, one Windows 8 full version, so you get the two different ones. You know, Metro is obviously going to be running some sort of an ARM architecture. The Pro one, the Windows 8 one, is going to be running. I think it was, they said it was Ivory Bridge, and I think it was the i5 Ivy Bridge. Good processor, good. You know, it'll have a lot of power. They didn't talk anything hard specs though. They talked general specs. So, like, they didn't talk price. They didn't talk battery life. They didn't talk. I think they might have mentioned storage, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, there's for the RT, you can get 32 and 64. For the Pro, you can get 64 and 128.
Nice. They've got some cool magnesium deposition thing that they're doing for making their cases, because Apple owns all the patents and cool.
Are you talking about their case keyboard thingy, or no? You're talking about
the back case is we've talked about this on my show, because this is one of my obscure passions, but learning about material manufacturing stuff. But basically, Apple owns they own liquid metal, and they own all the really high end manufacturing of aluminum. So if you want moldable metal, pretty much at least magnesium, and that's really common in the medical industry. And but it sounds like they came up with some cool new fancy-dancy way of doing it that's really effective and gives a nice polish. It sounds really neat. Sounds like a good, what will end up happening is you'll end up with a really nice case that's solid, like you had the aluminum backs on your iPads and stuff. So it's definitely, they're going in the right direction from a hardness perspective. It's got 1080p, so nothing in the ballpark of what Apple's got with the Retina display, but it's on par with any other high end tablet. So yeah, it's like, I can see a pixel occasionally. So it's not the end of the world.
So actually, related to that, so our mom is up visiting me because she loves me more this week. Ooh. And so she brought her Retina iPad, third gen.
Yeah.
So I got to see it. This is the first time I've actually seen it,
because
I haven't had an opportunity to make it up to the store yet. And it's funny, if it's an iPad or a Retina Ready app, it looks great, of course, obviously. But there's apps that aren't. They look horrible.
Horrible. Horrible.
It's bad. Horrible. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, man, Retina would be nice, but geez, if you have a non-Retina app. What's that? You have to tell me about the MacBook Pro, because I saw you when you visited. So you have to tell me what you think about that. But before that, so those are kind of the stats of the device. I think one of the cool things was the keyboard pad.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Every single one will come with a smart cover keyboard. It's very similar to the iPads it's very similar to iPads where it stamps on and has magnetic clips. It goes down, turns on and off based on how you open and close it. But
yeah, except like when in the iPad commercials, it's like a little snap snap. In the Surface commercials, it's like boom boom. They use like gongs.
Yeah.
It's a different sound.
Yeah, it won't be cool, but when it comes down, there's a keyboard, and they have two different keyboards that they talked about. One is a full button depressing one. It's a little more expensive. It's a harder case.
Oh, interesting.
It's designed for professionals who want the full keyboard. It's got a trackpad. And then they got some super cool secret one where it's like, it's actually like another touch panel with all of the keyboard's buttons printed on.
Huh.
And so it's like, it doesn't depress, but you just touch it and you can print on it or type on it. Which, I'll be honest, like, I've always thought that it'd be nice to have an iPad, especially when writing on the go. But the big limitation for me has always been, like, what would I do about a keyboard? Because I think a keyboard would be nice for long-form writing. And
you don't want to haul around one of these big things with you?
Yeah, super thick. Yeah, uncomfortable. For those of you who are listening to our show, he held up his super thin Mac or Apple keyboard.
How does this thing get charged? I don't understand. Is it magically like?
It's got a separate USB port.
Oh, really? See, that's lame. They should have figured out a way so that when it snaps on, it's like also like the mag thing where it also
It's an
turns as,
inductive. They
yeah.
would have to put it in. They would have to put an
I don't
inductive.
care. That would have been awesome.
Okay, you're right. You're
Just
right.
go,
You're right.
no
It would have been
batteries
good.
required. It just
It would have
works.
been. It would have been. They couldn't say that. I think that's. I feel like that's copyrighted.
It will work the way you expect.
Yes.
Easy.
Yeah. I agree. But it's one of those things where it's like I have this crazy Logitech keyboard. It's pretty simple, pretty low grade. But it's like you snap batteries in there. It's supposed to like last for 9 months. I mean,
Okay.
keyboards are ridiculous when it comes to. And it's a white. It's a Bluetooth. So it's one of those things where it's like. I feel like the power requirements that you're gonna worry about,
Okay.
you'll have to charge it once every couple months. And they'll probably there's a little USB port on your Surface, which means that if you have a regular USB to mini USB, you can charge your keyboard on the go. So
Cool.
I'm not worried about that. I actually think this is a cool little thing, and I wanted to give my initial reaction day of, because it sort of kicked off a lot of
Awesome. Play video now. I want to
criticism
see
over
this.
what
Of your
of my initial
reaction.
reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. My first reaction was, all right, I'm okay with this. I think this is kind of cool. And most importantly, if I were in the market for a pro version of Windows, I would definitely consider. I don't know if I would end up buying because it sounds like it would be kind of expensive, but I would definitely consider their professional tablet. If we obviously weren't doing the show when the iPad was when iPad was first announced, but my one of the things that I said is I really wanted it to be a full version of Mac or of OS
That's
X,
right, you did.
or that was a big believer in that. I think it's turned out to be a good. What they've done has worked really, really well. But there's a little part of me that would still love a full computer in a tablet form, a true tablet form. The biggest concern I have about it is the fact that it comes with a keyboard and mouse. And I actually,
Is there a
it talk
mouse too, or you mean trackpad?
it's a trackpad.
Okay, all right. I was like, there's a mouse?
Which
Whoa.
means that they're still trying to figure out how to balance that realm in between. It's like, one of the big reasons why why
Oh,
Apple
it's.
stepped off of OS X
Yeah.
is because it's a full touch interface. I mean, it is there's like there's the a pointer doesn't even make sense on iOS, whereas with
I'm
your
still trying to figure out
Surface.
how that makes sense on the surface, honestly. But is there literally
Yeah,
going to
I
be
think
like a little
it's
mouse floating around or like a little finger floating around? How does
I
that?
don't know.
Because an ant's just going to be like hovering over things?
Well, it might,
Because an
but
ant's
this
the one
is
with a
this
hand, right? Or no, is that the one with long hair? Which one? You know what I mean? Adam's family, hands
the
cut off, it's
thing?
just walking
No.
around thing.
I have no idea
I wish we had a
couldn't
chat room because that would answer the question for us.
Yeah. Dang it.
Oh well.
But I think what it I no, I don't know. I don't know. Well, this is one of the things. Turns out that somebody
Turns
pointed this out
out.
on Wednesday. It took us a couple days for somebody to get this, like, to realize that they did this big demonstration. They talked about this cool new keyboard thing, and they didn't demonstrate it. Not only did they not demonstrate it, but when they let people like pick up Surface, they didn't let them touch the keypads. They just had demos of it, and everybody was like,
That's weird.
did you like overlook this detail, or what's going on here? And I think part of it is it's like I you know I what it what, I think what it showed everybody was that some part of it wasn't ready. Either it was laggy and it doesn't
Yeah.
perform well, or it's not actually done. But it's entirely possible that these like were just mock-up demo things that don't actually
It's
work.
possible.
And because one of the things that one of the things that they did here was they announced this like 3 or 4 months before they're going to announce the before the earliest possible ship date, because they're not going to ship it before the they'll probably parallel release it with the operating system. And so
That would
there's
totally make
actually
sense. That's what I would do.
So it's entirely possible there's still development time that they have, that they're this wasn't a final product. But it might have something to do with they haven't quite, man, I can't believe I could not, it would be really difficult for me to believe at this point that they're still trying to figure out what to do with the keyboard and mouse when it comes to the final version
Well,
or,
and I
you
mean, the
know.
weird part about that too is like no one knew about the event. You know, it's, I mean, I'm sure that it's been in the works for a couple months, but it's like, if it's not ready, it's not ready. You know, you just don't do the event.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe they think they can
So
make
it,
it, and I don't know.
well, I think what people are
Maybe
really
they want to
concerned is
retain
that,
some of the mysteries still.
yeah, that's
Yeah.
they should have done something completely different then. It's just like it's basically because I feel like what essentially that one of the weird things that they did here is they announced it so early and they gave the you know at this point it's still kind of vaporware. Nobody's actually played with it. Nobody knows what it's going to be like. Nobody knows when it's going to be released, how much it's going to cost, how well it's going to perform. You know, one of the brilliances of Apple, what they do is with their demonstrations is they don't actually make an announcement until you can order it online and it'll be in stores for people to pick up and play with tomorrow. You know, when there have been cases with like the original iPhone where because of regulation stuff, they had to announce it a little bit early. But
But they still had the
people,
phones and they still had the pricing and release dates and.
yeah, and they had demonstration stuff for people to play with and then write about, you know. Whereas this is very much like classic Microsoft. We're going to get you all excited. We're going to leave out any details that might disappoint you, and we're just going to let you dwell on what awful things are to come.
So what'd you think about that, like their presentation where they started out where, you know, secrecy event, very Apple-like. Did you see that one video that compared the Surface versus iPad announcement? That was awesome. I gotta play just a little bit of it
Okay, go for it.
because it was perfect. It was made by the
Good
Read White
afternoon.
Web.
Good morning. I certainly want to thank everybody for coming today. We've reimagined, redefining the reimagination, reimagined for reimagining the tablet. This is the
I
new
love it.
Microsoft Surface. We call it the iPad. That's what it looks
The
like.
iPad.
Surface is super
Ooh.
thin. iPad is really thin. It's 10.6 inch, 9.7 inch optically bonded IPS display
Love
at
it.
under 1.5 pounds, just 1.5 pounds. Dual 2x2 MIMO antennas, the latest in wireless networking. It's got a 30-pin connector, full-size USB
Reimagined.
port, the keyboard dock, the full multi-touch keyboard. Browsing the web, I can browse smoothly, and I'm just going to go to Safari. Oops.
Best part was
Hang on, just whoop.
poor guy. There was a if you haven't watched this video, there's a scene there where a scene, a part of it, where this guy, he's a poor guy. I feel bad for him. He's showing off the browser, and it just is not working. And you can tell that in part of the presentation, he wants to show something and it's not working. And then he turns it and he keeps talking, and you can like see the muscles in his arm twitching so fast, trying to get this poor little tablet to do its thing. He goes back, tries to get, nope, still not working. And then he's like, he keeps talking, and then finally, like, silence. And he goes, hold on a second. And he has to run back and grab another tablet and then pick up his thing again. And it just and poor guy. And you've got to imagine that Ballmer's sitting there going, no, because this is gonna turn into a meme instantly.
Windows froze. You know, and the worst part about it is that it's like it's I personally think it's totally unfair. Like, FaceTime totally crashed
Oh,
when Apple.
I know. I'm just saying, it was so perfect.
It feeds into that the narrative that Microsoft or that Windows is unstable and freezes and crashes. And they're standing up there on stage and it freezes and crashes, huh? It's just like, oh, you can tell
Yeah,
that it's just that I felt bad. I felt bad because it's
I
you
would have been
know
like, and
it's
if it
it.
freezes, you can just reset it like this and it'll work again.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm totally with you. Like I said, it's just like that's just a classic internet moment where you're just like, "Oh boy." And
Yeah.
I could
Oh,
just
jeez.
imagine Ballmer just hands in his head just going, "Oh man, I did not want that to happen." But
Yeah.
yeah, no, it's funny. It's cool. I want to go play with
Well,
one, I'll be honest.
The nice part about it is that we now have 3.5 months to forget about this conference before we actually get to play with one.
Yeah, maybe.
Which to me that I think that's like I wasn't, you know, obviously if you follow my tweets on Monday, I announced, so I was like, pretty cool tablet. Too bad they didn't announce any prices or dates, otherwise this could have been an important announcement.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like the actual piece of technology is cool. It's everything else around it that is like, what are you guys doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you announcing this so early? Why are you not adding any prices? Why aren't you giving us anything of real meat to get excited about? It's like they were trying to freeze the market for somebody else, but they didn't give you anything to actually, you know, any reason to wait.
I sit here and this tablet, so it embodies and represents a company in transition. And
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, if this were a movie, you know, English majors would be going nuts over it. Because there's so many metaphors hooked into it, right? Where you've got this Windows 8, which is somehow a touch tablet device, somehow a legacy operating system. You got Microsoft as a company where it's like there's somehow a hardware manufacturer, somehow software-only OEM supporter. You've got them where they're doing this quasi, you know, Apple event. We're going to build up some big press, which is, you know, it's fun, it's good, it works. We're going to make a big deal about this. And then you have, but it's really just a preview, and we'll give you the real details later when it comes.
Right.
And it's just like, on so many levels, it's this company where you're like, and they're transitioning from this old school legacy, you know, 1990s powerhouse and to what they hopefully want to become walking into at least the next 10 years. And it's like we're watching this transition, and it's going to take, could take 5 years, could take another 10, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's like, you go, okay, I like what they're doing. You know, they've got some kick in them. And then Wednesday they went off again on their Windows 8 phone. And I don't know why they didn't decide to do it all at once, because that would have been
a lot of people asked that question, because it like, I'll be totally honest, I didn't even realize they had announced the Windows 8 operating system, the new one, their developer's preview, as it were, until today.
Yeah, it was strange.
It was just...
So I don't fully get those things, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
And Apple's notorious for... you know, they'll have their event, they'll talk about stuff, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, PS, here's a press release, we, you know, upgraded the Air, whatever those things are called, you know, our Wi-Fi stations, you know,
right.
Or we, you know what I mean? They'll do those small things, they're like, whatever, press release, no big deal. And everyone goes, oh cool, Easter egg. And, you know, but with this one, it was like, that seems like kind of a big deal. You don't want to have people in a room and show them the new goodness.
At the same time, that's actually not my biggest concern about with the phone announcement, because it's like, you know, Apple obviously did they've now moved their big phone, their big developer preview of their operating systems to WWDC.
Yeah.
But when they started, you know, for iPhone 2 through 3, I guess it's just two phones. they were announcing them at the actual hardware at WWDC. So 3 months earlier, they did a developers conference or a developer preview, and now they do the developer preview at WWDC, and 3 months later announce hardware. So it's like there's a 3 month lag there. So that's not really that surprising that they did the developers that they did that so early this year. And you know, Apple, obviously they just get so much attention that I don't think they want all the attention that they necessarily get at the developer previews, because it's just meant for developers by and large. But they just got a lot of attention. So I think Microsoft, like, it's one of those things where it's like they were all right with nobody really paying attention, because this wasn't meant for consumers. This was meant for developers. But one of the things that they did, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but
is it tech related?
It is.
Then we're on topic.
It's one of those things where
brothers? It's on topic.
Yes. This is so basically they announced a bunch of new features that are going to be coming with Windows 8, like near field stuff and DirectX support.
Near field.
What did I say?
You said stuff. That's NFS.
Oh yes, NFC near field.
Maybe we won't go down that. We want to stay clean.
Right. But
I think I said enough. Anyways, sorry. Sorry. Totally.
So. what they basically did was they announced all this new software that will only work with new hardware. So essentially, if you're buying a Lumia 9000 today, it will not be upgradable to the new software in 3 months. So
3 months?
You have the old phone.
Poor Nokia.
Yeah. Everybody was like, "What are you doing to Nokia?"
Here's a company who's like headed to the hospital to go on life support, and Microsoft's just there with a knife. Hey,
every month,
luck.
Every quarter, is super important. They just kick them to the wolves. You know, it's like you sit there and you go,
did Nokia know about this at least? I hope they did. They must.
I don't
had
think they did, man. Microsoft has been holding everything so close to their chest lately. Well, it's like, we talk about this. We talked about this when Apple announced iOS 6. It's the big question of look for features that don't make sense without new hardware, because that's what's going to be their big selling point,
which is
for the hardware. Well, this one, what?
Which is the passbook, but in my opinion,
right?
I am,
yeah, me too. And it's like, it's like this treasure hunt, and you're not quite sure. Whereas Microsoft just came out and said, "Oh yeah, by the way, this isn't going to work with new hardware." Everything that Apple announced at WWDC hypothetically will work on your current hardware, so people can feel confident that they can keep buying new hardware up until the day of the announcement of the new piece of hardware, and not really sure what's coming, just this kind of vague expectation. Whereas like Windows 8, it's like, no, your phone is old. Sorry, I don't know if you wanted it to be old or not, but it is. You're like, why would you do that? I had a couple flubs this week with announcements where, like you said, it's very much this company in transition, and they're modeling what they're doing after after Apple and Google in a lot of ways, and they're doing some things really well, and then there's other little details of it's like that wasn't a really important detail to not shoot yourself in the foot for the next quarter. Like, do you not want your stock to do well in 3 months? what are you guys doing? It's funny. It's those details that, I think has propelled Apple to the most valuable company in the world. And, it's those little details that they seem to be missing, but
yeah, and then it looks like this Wednesday we got Google I/O, so it'll be their opportunity to tell the world all the cool handset stuff they're on. And then the week after that is Furlough Bros Amazing Awesome Conference, where we detail to you all the cool stuff we're doing in our podcast. All you got to do is tune in on Sundays, and you'll hear it all.
You can all be part of it.
We'll have a
archive it.
Nuts. Wouldn't we let's just do like an open. We're doing it, but anyone can join at any time. And anyways, I'm having a million thoughts over here.
All right, interesting.
So anyway, so it's just kind of it's cool. It's that part of year, right, where each company takes a week, they get their opportunity to tout their stuff, show it out, find their poor developers who would develop for all of them. They're just like sleeping in a hotel for 3 weeks, getting pumped up. And then going
right.
By the time you get to Google, I've got to imagine some are just like, "Okay, I'm done. I'm ready to go home."
This
but Google
fun.
they have their what's that thing called? Their Oprah moment, right? Where they're gonna go and everybody gets a free Nexus tablet, and everyone's gonna go, "Ah!"
Yeah, and people get pumped like for Google I/O. Like,
dude, I want to go. I want something.
Oh, dude, I'd love to go to Google I/O.
Because they're totally full of all these promises. I mean, they never come true, but man, they've set out a vision that you're just like, that's awesome. Yeah. I want it on that vision.
that would be a fun one to go to. WWDC seems like it would be really cool to go to, except,
if I were
like, I don't have... Exactly. I feel like I could go to Google I/O and just take it in, whereas, like, WWDC, it's like, you spend a lot of money, you go, and you're like, hey, what's up? You guys do a lot of work here.
Wow, I feel like I'm in class all of a sudden. This isn't just a rally.
This is learning. This isn't like a big party.
And I'm a horrible student, so
yeah,
this isn't
exactly.
Fun.
I talk
yeah,
about
it's
stuff.
Not just guys walking around on cigars going, haha, we're rich off of apps, life is great.
Exactly.
Or even just like, they're not even, it's not even like a hackathon, you know? It's like, yeah, we're making cool stuff. No, it's like classrooms. You're in there with,
yeah.
At least that's how I feel it would be. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's how it actually
would
is.
Like to go, but I don't have.
Yeah.
Knowing Apple, it's not some sort of free fest. Hey, we're all just going to get together as a community. We're just going to talk apps and open source, and it's going to be great. No, it's highly controlled.
And not to mention the fact that they take all of their engineers off of all of their work for the week and they send them in there. So it's like it's very cool, but it's not, you're not talking about party people. You're talking about, you know, incredibly brilliant academics talking, you know, nuts and bolts of how these machines work.
And they're all
it's
like, for anyone in hardware, you are not allowed in the room.
Yeah.
We don't trust you.
Yeah.
Stay out of San Francisco.
Go on vacation.
Yeah. I would like them to just be like, yeah, take the week off, guys. I mean, seriously. We're done. We're just not going to do anything for this week. This is our Christmas week or something. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Don't worry
about
it.
They've been doing that a lot lately with the Apple guys where they get like, they just like shut down campus for a week. What? Yeah. The engineers all get to go home. I'm jealous. I'll be honest. As a mechanical engineer, I would never be one of the ones that they would give the week off, because I would always be doing something like, okay, this week is a perfect week for you to go fly to North Carolina and do something at our, you know, and I'm like, oh, great. All the cool engineers get their week off. I've got real work to do.
But for those of you listening, he would take a job from Apple.
No. Duly noted.
You would
I'm not complaining.
You'd put up
with I'm that. Not complaining.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like a
phantom job that you don't have. Man, yeah. Everyone else would get a week off, and I wouldn't. I'd have to work on something I love.
Yeah, really.
It'd be horrible.
Jeez.
Man.
So,
back on task. Let's talk about Surface.
Yeah,
somehow we started talking about Apple, because that's what we do.
So,
other interesting things about Surface that you would like to bring up, perhaps?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not done yet. Yeah. No, I'm just getting started. Did you look at my Wednesday articles? because this one's
so okay.
One.
Well, all right. Before we head on to Wednesday, had a couple that I saw you did for Tuesday. One big thing, which I don't know why, there's no 3G for Surface. I think that's weird.
It's gonna be Wi-Fi only coming out at first.
It must have been like a battery issue or something.
Space issue. I guarantee it's a thickness issue. They wanted it to be thinner than the iPad. It is thinner by like point. Like a tenth of a millimeter. I mean, it's the thickness of a piece of paper thinner.
They want to win that argument.
Yeah, and I'm entirely sure that that's the reason why. It was just a space issue.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, but it's, hey, you know, whatever. I wouldn't be surprised.
They might have done research and found that most of the ones that Apple sells are Wi-Fi only, and they go, well, what, you know.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I probably wouldn't get a 3G iPad, so I don't know if I would want a 3G Surface. You know?
Well, I wouldn't. I'd get the Wi-Fi, and then since I have an iPhone, or Android devices do it too, I'm sure, and you get the hotspots thing, you just do the extra data for that, and you're good to go. And, you know, it's cheaper than getting a separate data plan for the iPad. It's probably faster if you have the direct connect as opposed to going through your phone, I'm sure. But, you know, whatever. Anyways,
yeah.
Okay, so that's the device. Let's talk about Wednesday. What happened there?
Okay, so...
Yeah, you have... Oh, my word. Go.
Gave people a couple days to kind of think about what was going on.
That's all that's really needed to soak in the big implications of what's going on here.
I know.
48 hours, we're good.
Yeah, it's pretty much. A couple big announcements and dug up a little facts. Number one, big question during their announcement, right out of their announcements, was who's going to be making this? Are they going to be going with a one of their partners like Acer or something like that? Are they going to be, you know, because it's like when Google designed the original Nexus phone, they partnered with the HTC. They basically did the design work, but HTC took this finished design packet and they turned it into a phone.
Yeah.
And so everybody was wondering if that's what was going on with Microsoft. They were making, they were sending out specifications, they were doing design work, but somebody else was really handling the making of the computer. And it turns out that that's not the case. They're not going through a partner. They're actually using Pegatron, which is one of the major manufacturers in China. So it's much, which is one of the ones that Apple uses for, I don't remember what part of, obviously Foxconn is the
They also sound like Pegasus, and it instantly makes me think of Harry Potter.
Yes. I always like to think of like a the image of Pegatron reminds me of like some sort of like a Transformer Pegasus
thing. Ah, yeah, okay. All right.
But
I can see that too.
Yeah. but it's kind of a big deal, because this is much more in tune with what they're doing with the Xbox, where the Xbox is, they design everything in-house, and then manufacturing is broken down into other assemblers as opposed to a OEM like Acer. So it's you know, this is kind of right, exactly. So this is a big deal, because what it does is it literally puts them on par with what HP and Acer are doing, and Apple, really. They also, the source that they got that said Pegatron was doing it also said that they think the cost of the tablet is going to be for the Metro RT, it's going to be $599, and for the Pro Windows 8, it's going to be $799.
The cost to manufacture it?
No, final selling price is what they said.
That's competitive.
Yeah, retail. $600, $800. Yeah, which is, you know, everybody was kind of going with the $1,000 benchmark, but
that's what when they said with current Ultrabooks, or the way that they worded it, I was like, that doesn't sound like the iPad. It sounds like they're going to go for Ultrabooks, which are hanging out in the $800 to $1,000 price range.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what everyone was saying. But I gotta believe they're gonna go with 800. I would actually be shocked if it was a $1,000 tablet. If they beat Apple's high end by, well, you know what they'll do? I think this is what they're gonna do. I think the 64 will be 800, and the 128 gigabyte one will be closer to 1,000. Because you know they got a couple different models. One of the big things that they did. One of the other things that everybody was kind of shocked
by was...
Heck,
they could sell it at a loss and try to make it up on content. I mean, that's...
It's worked before.
Yeah.
Get
a bunch of apps pre-installed. Why not?
Right. One of the things that they did, one of the other things that they did kind of revolving around this, gave people time to go in and interview other people. Acer, I keep bringing up Acer because Acer had a lot to say. But basically, Microsoft left most of their partners in the dark on this. They were just like, they didn't tell anybody that they were doing this. They didn't tell anybody that they were engineering it, that they were going to manufacture it. And a lot of these big companies like Fujitsu and stuff, like, they found out everything right along with us on Monday morning. Like, the CEOs of these companies were blindsided by it. And, you know, which was like a kind of a shocking revelation, like, what? You know, like, you guys are doing what? and so it's like, you know, it was this, you know, interesting dilemma. And the Acer CEO, when they asked him, he basically was like, no, they're not going to make tablets long term. They're going to stop making tablets, and they're going to do it soon. Everyone's like, what do you mean? He goes, well, it's one of those things where they're obviously, you know, they want to, he compared it directly to the Nexus, where it's supposed to be the showpiece. It, you know, a very nice device, but it's not intended for anybody to actually go out and buy. And they're going to put it in their showrooms, and it'll kind of set the high bar, but people will buy regular, old tablets. And once all their OEMs pick up the slack like us, you know, and start manufacturing tablets in mass, then they'll just stop making it. They don't have any need to, and they won't.
Hmm.
Which everyone's okay. like, wow, that's pretty confident considering that you didn't know about the tablet yesterday. but you know, that's his argument.
I've got to imagine that Microsoft, they've done both numbers. And, you know, they're like, hopefully this thing sells like gangbusters, because that'd be awesome, because we make a ton of money off of it. But if it doesn't, hopefully our OEMs will, you know, they'll figure it out, and we can transition to them, and it'll all be fine anyways.
So this is where I come. I'm trying to build this narrative.
Narrate away.
Basically, you have this conference where they don't tell anybody, they don't tell any of their OEMs about it. That they're coming out with this tablet. It's a competitive tablet. It's a nice tablet. It's good hardware. Everything looks legit. Acer is really confident that nobody will buy this. Why would anyone buy this? But they don't actually have any inside information. Microsoft sets this up specifically between Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference and Google's I/O, and you know, clearly they're trying to send a message: we're getting in this game, and they really started too early. I think you made the comment earlier about the fact that, like, you know, nobody knew that this was coming. If it wasn't ready, you could just cancel it and reschedule it. But I think the thing is that they really thought of this as like, no, we got to get in before Google. We got to take over the conversation before the Nexus tablet gets released, because if it's legit at all, we want people thinking about our tablet when they're going and looking at Google.
Yeah, because they're
going
to make all those comparison tables between the devices, and they want theirs in that comparison table.
Exactly. And so this is one of those things where it's like it absolutely had to happen. And I think what it is I think they're really prepping themselves to be super competitive. They're prepping for this to be a successful device. And what they've seen is they've seen the Xbox be hugely profitable for them, makes them a ton of money. They've seen other hardware things that they've done make them a ton of money. They're seeing what Apple is doing, where Apple is selling low price software. $30 updates on entire operating systems, you know, $40 for their entire suite of our productivity suite on iPad. And Microsoft it's a $10 nap.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe
whatever. But it's cheap compared to, whereas like I paid $150 or whatever, $30 for one license of the
Office.
Non-professional Office suite. And, you know, the professional suite of Office and the professional Pro iOS, it's like $700 if you were to add everything up. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a ton of money off of their software. They're making all of their money off of their software. And what they're seeing is Apple change the expectation. And not just Apple, but Google. They're seeing Google come out and change the expectation. Why aren't operating systems free? Google gives their operating system away free. Why are you charging for it? I don't get it. Why would we go with you when you charge? And Microsoft is having to drive down the price of their operating systems, and what they see is they go, we cannot compete against Google. We don't have anything else. We're not going to give it away for free. But there's definitely a window for us to compete against Apple. There is this. There we do think that if we were getting into hardware, do quality hardware, we could fit into this space. I think what Apple or what Microsoft is doing right now is they are prepping to become an OEM for a major OEM for tablets. And they sit there and they go, because what they're seeing is people being less and less willing to shell out for Windows and Microsoft Office. And whereas if you package everything into hardware, you can charge way less. You know, one of the things that they said is it's like each license for these devices costs like $78 to all these OEMs, and then they've got their profit on top of that. Whereas like Microsoft could either make, if let's say HP has a $700 tablet and 80 of that is spent on Windows, Microsoft could make a $780 tablet and charge the same as Microsoft and make, you know, and have a, they can either outperform all other tablets, or they're making $100, you know, if you were making $20 profit on a $700 computer, Microsoft is coming in making $100. You know, what's the big complaint right now? HP, Dell, Acer, Fujitsu, they're selling tons and tons of computers, but they're selling them so cheaply that they can't make any profit on it. And this is like the best possible solution. You just sit there and they go, I really think that what you're going to see, I do not think that this was a shot across the bow for Apple. I guess it's all about, we want people to think about our tablet when they're thinking about Google, and this was a shot at their OEMs. They're gearing up for a major manufacturing war, and you know, they don't want to be they're not pleased with their OEMs, and they're just like, game over, man. We're stepping in, and we're going to take all of our huge advantages that we have of being the guy that does your software, and we're going to rock and roll. You know, I think, you know, people, you know, the idea that, you know, they don't want this to be, they're all right with this not being a huge financial success, I actually think that's just crazy. I think that they want this to be the next Xbox.
I'm convinced. You won me over.
Boom. Thank you.
All right. So any other thoughts about it? I mean, no. I'd love to go play with one, but... You know.
Videos for now. Yeah. I can't wait to go and play with it. I hope it's good. Because if it's lame, that'll be lame.
And as we talked about, they also released their phone on Wednesday, or the software for their Windows 8 phone, which also looks like it could be pretty cool, but I honestly didn't follow it that closely. So.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, the big thing, one of the big things that they're doing is it's going to run on the same kernel as Windows 8, so the mobile 8 and the full 8 were on the same basic thing, and the reason why this is important is because I keep harping on this, their future is in the .NET platform, which means that it can be the same exact virtual machine for both devices, just basically with a different screen size and lower level hardware. So you literally can make programs that with absolutely no change in coding will run on both platforms, which, you know, is it's something that you can't do on any other platform, and I think that's going to be a big deal it's going to be one of the big selling points for their ecosystem, and you know, this is really what they're gunning for hardcore, so you know, that'll be cool. I think that was the big announcement, other than don't buy a Lumia because in 3 months you won't be able to upgrade it.
Yeah, really. Hold off. Yeah. All right. Let's switch gears for the second half of the show now. Talk about everybody else.
All right.
Let's make that happen. So the... I get to go for a while. So the first thing is Facebook has purchased Face.com and its facial recognition software.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. In their acquisition announcement, it said, "We love building products, and like our friends at Facebook, we think that mobile is a critical part of people's lives as they both create and consume content and share content with their social graph. By working with Facebook, they'll be able to make amazing products." What do you think they're going to do with them? So, you know, you take a picture and you get facial recognition.
You know, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, it's part of building up your complete profile. You know, they want all of your photos to be, you know, they want to know. So right now everything's crowdsourced, right? All of your pictures are tagged by people or you. I think they're just sitting there going, "Nah, it'd be cool if we could do that all automatically."
Don't they make suggestions now? I feel like when you have a photo, they're like, "Is this?" Or no, they know where there's faces. They just don't necessarily know who the person is.
Who, yeah. And this is, you know, I mean, and it's like, you know, Apple's iPhoto for a while has had facial recognition where, you know, it can say who's in this. But, you know, when you're talking about your personal photo library, that's like, that's one thing. with, you know, the scale of what Facebook's doing, it's a completely different algorithm.
That's true.
You know, it's an incredibly impressive, you know, feat that they're going to be doing. And, you know, it's, I don't think it's one of those things where it's like this is one of their big revolutions. I think it's just one of those things where it's a difficult engineering feat, and they found somebody who was doing it better, so they're buying the brain trust and they're buying the technology, and they're gonna. That's to me is what it's like. And on top of that, you know, I'm willing to bet that Face.com, you know, it'll stay. If you go there right now, it's the Face.com website, but it's got like a Google like button saying Google bought us. Or no, geez. A Facebook like button saying Facebook bought us. and I think, you know, you obviously that'll stay, and then eventually they might, you know, have some sort of a information about it. But I think eventually it'll just face.com will redirect to facebook.com. And you know, I gotta imagine that that's all they're gonna do with that URL. It's cool to have that URL. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. So another thing that happened was Airbnb shared a couple stats. Have you ever used Airbnb?
I'm like the Luddite of this podcast. It's always like,
that's okay.
Do you use this new cool service? And I'm like, no.
You're like Charlie from Willy Wonka. You're just looking in at it all with your nose up against the glass, going, I want some of the tech candy, right. But I can't afford it right now. Don't worry, you'll get your golden ticket. I would love to use them. I've chickened out once already, but that's okay. Where was I going? I was somewhere. I had an opportunity to use it, and they weren't the cheapest, so I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to use it.
Right.
But I'm already convinced, like, if I do some international travel, non-work-related, a.k.a. reimbursed, I'd love to try it. That way you're staying with a family and a real person.
So for people know, because I don't think we said this, Airbnb is basically, it allows families to rent out their houses.
Yeah, you got a spare bedroom. You can list it instead of like on Creepy Craigslist. And
creepy Craigslist.
Well, that would be creepy. Come on.
They have a rating system.
It's funny.
It's like
eBay, kind of, in the sense that, you know, there's rating systems and usernames and whatever. You can, it's airbnb.com. And actually, if you go to HipMonk, which is my favorite travel search site, they integrated Airbnb into their hotel searches. So it's all there. It's awesome. And so what's cool about it is then me as a person can go, hey, let me stay here. And you can literally stay in someone's spare bedroom instead of at a hotel. And the idea is, A, it might be cheaper than staying at a hotel. B, it actually might be nicer because you could have access to a kitchen, to a refrigerator, to get your own bathroom, and potentially people who actually know the area and can help you, you know, get around type of thing.
Right.
And so they have reached an impressive milestone of 10 million guest nights.
Boom.
Yeah, and they've actually increased 5 million in the last 5 months. And I think they were saying that half of them-ish are overseas. 4.4 were in the U.S., so over half. And they currently, there's 200,000 different active listings worldwide right now that you could go right now. I mean, we've done some, like, you know, what if dreaming type things, which are fun, because I would love to take like a 3-month vacation one day.
Yeah.
And we were looking, and I think it was either Airbnb or what's the other one? It's, I can look this up real quick because I just got to find out what it, HomeAway is it. Is the other cool app. But
wait. Say that again.
HomeAway.
Okay.
.com, I believe.
Okay. Cause It sounded a bit like you said home away.
It's not that.
Okay, it was like
home. H O M E.
I was like,
not home away.
I don't know. This is a tech podcast, James.
Yeah, not that. But we were doing some research, and it was like, dude, you could go to Venice, Italy, and there are literally people who are like, yeah, I have a small room that you can rent out for a month if you wanted to. And it's like, it's reasonable, like $1,000 a month, which is reasonable. Wow. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. So that's one of the things we'd love to do. But I thought that's cool. It's proven the model. I talked to some people about it, and they're like, that sounds horrible, totally risky, and, you know, you get murdered at night. Like, no.
Yeah, that's really rarely happens.
Very rare.
I would love to.
We have an extra room that we literally don't use, and I would love to set it up. But I don't. Who would come to Albany? You're just like, what?
That's a good question.
If I were in Corvallis, like, totally makes sense because people would stay for game day, and I would totally do it. You know, for those five, six games a week. A year.
A week. Yeah. And one of the weird things, it's like, not only is it like proving that it's its own internal model works, but one of the big ways that you know that your model is working when other big industries that are in the same industry try to regulate you out of existence.
Yes.
This article doesn't really cover it, but that's the hotel industry right now is like, they are upset about what they're doing, about the fact that they're having success, because they think they're cutting into their profits. So they're really trying to protect people. They would really like it to be illegal.
I think Airbnb is like, we would actually totally love hotels to list on our site. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Right. That's why not? So yeah. That one's one of the, hopefully the free market will actually make a decision on this one. And,
well, hopefully and it decides site, like, to keep it, or I get to try it before it decides.
Right.
Negatively. I just gotta go on a trip, right? Spend some money.
Exactly.
So another thing, is Facebook and General Electric, which I'm like, General Electric, really?
They do everything.
They do, so I shouldn't be too surprised. Because of the Olympics, they thought it would be a good time to announce their new thing called Healthy Share. It's a place for Facebook users to set health goals for others and help each other reach them. And so it's a Facebook app, Healthy Share, all one word. And you literally lets users mark their progress along some of the more popular categories of health and fitness. They include walking, and they show some information about how that affects cholesterol, about eating and workout routines, and you add entries. But so what's interesting about this is there's this real drive in the health world to find some sort of app that helps you be healthy. It's like there's this obvious need that's been identified by people, and I've tried two or three of them, and honestly, they're all kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cool at first, and then you're like, all right, not cool. But it's interesting, you know. Now what they're trying to do is going, okay, it's Facebook, it's with your friends. We're making it instantly social instead of having, you know, asking friends to come over here. We're gonna, you know, bring you to your friends type of thing. And and I don't know. I don't know what to think about these things. I really feel like, you know, and the other thing that they were making a big point about, I guess, is that Facebook is now going to have information not just about your social habits, but about your, like, real life habits too.
Weird.
Theoretically through this app, if it's all correct, you know, doing it correctly. And they're like, man, Facebook will know what you like online. They'll like what you do offline. They're going to know who you are. They got pictures of your face tagged. You know,
they're going to know almost as much as Google.
Really. And so, but yeah, I think it's, I don't know what to think about it. There's this need out there. And I don't feel like anyone has hit the mark yet. I haven't seen anything where I'm just like, yes, that is it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I've been looking around for stuff like that, and you know, nothing. I haven't found anything that for you know health wise that I can't do with a pen and paper, that I can't do with a you know stopwatch and some weightlifting. Like I you know, it's one of those like it's weird because like I look to high technology to solve the simplest of problems first. And it's like one of those ones where it's just like, for whatever reason, it just makes it, it actually, I find that I am dissuaded from working out when I, or, you know, figuring out what I need to eat well when I have to use some sort of a, you know, piece of software. And I blame it on the software because obviously I'm willing to do it when I don't use it. And I'm willing to use, you know, my iPhone for pretty much everything else, even when it hurts me, you know, to some degree. You know, but if it gives me a nominal advantage, I'm going to go for it. I just don't feel like I get an advantage out of it. Which maybe it's one of those things that's because, like, it really is so simple. I mean, eat less, work out more,
you know, finances for a while was like this, right? You should track your finances and you know, have reports and stuff. And it was like eventually banks, you know, via debit cards and credit cards, they started tracking everything automatically for you. And then you get companies right. like Mint who come along and go, we can aggregate it all for you and give you useful information and compare you to others. And, you know, they're not going to do the social component because finances, you know, you don't do that. But, you know, but they were able to use technology to...
Could you imagine that? Oh, man. Share this on Facebook. I mean, like,
I made money. Share. Oh yeah, it's like
why would we? Yeah, exactly. Why would we even bother with the pictures of your nice car and your nice house and that cool vacation? Why not just share bank statements? It really would make everything a lot easier. That'd
be awesome. Yeah, that would be great. But so my point though. Is that eventually the banks figured out how to track your finances for you, your automate them, I guess, and then, you know, we were able to create apps on top of it. The big problem with this, you know, is it requires self-reporting. And, you know, anytime you're dependent on self-reporting, I feel like there's a very small subset of people who are actually going to, you know, do that. And I know that some companies have tried to make like the Fitbit or apps that you attach it to your wrist and it's like, all right, man, it's got you. You just live your life. It's going to watch your heart rate. It's going to watch where you go. It's going to count your steps and, you know, measure your perspiration or whatever it does.
Similar to what Nike's, you know.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. And maybe you got to attach a little thing in your tummy and it on your stomach and it tells you, whoa, you ate a lot.
I was reading an article about that.
Really?
You know. Yeah, they were talking about like...
I was making that up as over-the-top stupid crazy.
But yeah, they were talking about dropping little computers in your stomach that you could like read with like a Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah, you know, I guess if you just swallow them. Yeah, it doesn't have to be invasive, yeah. I suppose.
No.
A little pill. All right, yeah. Awesome. So, anyways, that was news. Facebook, General Electric, helping you get fit. Probably not, though. So, you went to a Mac store.
I did.
Wow. An Apple store recently.
Went to an Apple store. I live with like 17 of them, so I got the pick of the litter.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And
so, are you going, did you order the MacBook Pro? Do you got it?
With Retina display?
Which one did you get?
Did not. All I did was go and check it out.
I'm just going to call you Charlie.
I know. It's, you know, it's bad. You know what, though? This felt pretty good. I checked my bank statement.
Just remember that.
Yeah, I checked my bank statement before I went, and I could have if I'd wanted to.
Hey! Just, you know, that's good.
Yeah, that's big news.
You want to share that?
No.
Okay. Just, well, I mean, kind of already did, but, you know.
Yeah. Good point. so anyways, I What was I gonna say? Oh yeah,
MacBook
I checked it
Pro,
out. So
Retina display.
So my you know so like I went I like I went
you
online.
You touch the screen,
it
tilts it to the correct angle. We know. Keep going.
You know, I did that first. I went online. I do what I always do. I check all my websites. I check websites that I go to. I check my personal websites. You know, I just kind of check everything out. Very quick. Looks like a MacBook Pro 15-inch. I mean, it's pretty. You know, it's pretty remarkable.
Did you feel like it was lacking an optical disk drive, and that would totally affect your?
No, I okay. don't use.
So tell me about the screen. Is the screen, you know?
Give me a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I'm getting there. So one of the things I do is like I lean in like super close. Like I get like because I can see the pixels. I'm like 8 inches away from my screen right now. I can see pixels, and so I was like, okay, how close do I need to get before I can see the pixels on my on this device? Yeah, wow. See, try to do it on your I can kind of see them on my iPod Touch, and it has a Retina display. Maybe. So anyways, I tried it on this. I mean, again, my nose was almost touching the screen. I could not see the pixels.
Wow.
I mean, like, it was ridiculous. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is really cool. I can see why everybody gets really excited about that.
Bad. Okay, all right, yeah.
And then I was like, just kind of like, you know, I was opening Windows and everything, and then I minimized everything. And I know you don't go to the Apple Store very often, so you may not remember this, but there's like installed on the desktop, there's a little widget that basically is like allows you to contact store people to try to like get their attention and stuff.
Okay.
Like, installed on all these, so it's like. And they didn't update the widget. It looks awful. I mean, it's like the worst thing ever. I was like, oh, like, oh. I can, it's like the pixelation is exaggerated because
oh, yeah.
of oh, it's terrible.
If it's anything it like is, the iPad, oh.
I gotta mention, it's just like the iPad. It was like it was a shock. And I was
to
like,
the point where I mean, it's like you said, it's worse.
Yeah, exactly. It is worse, and like I wanted to point it out to somebody. I was like, that's weird. Why would I do that? But what it is?
Hey guys, I know you're just an employee here, and you have no control over this, but I think you should know.
And
they'd be like, so yeah, you're like the 500th person to tell us today.
Yeah, really. But it's you know, but it draws it draws into sharp focus. Problem that they're going to run into for at least a little while is that everything else looks terrible on it. They've ramped up the resolution so much so fast that like the internet can't really keep. Actually, I was pretty surprised, and you know the internet looked pretty good. That has a lot to do with
you mean websites, right?
How
do you say that?
Yes.
Just checking.
That has a lot to how they do with how they render images and how much aliasing there's going on. And
yeah, because browsers are kind of like they're designed to be flexible.
Yeah, you know, it's like you can't like 72 dpi is
standard
dots per inch is standard. Like, well, it's not just standard. You like can't do it any other way. What's interesting though is that Google Chrome, if you take a large image and compress it down to whatever size it is, it will render it at, like a super high resolution. But if you take a low resolution image and you scroll out, they'll blur all the edges and stuff, so you don't. It's not super pixelated.
Huh.
They do a lot of image rendering of JPEGs to make them look. And GIFs and whatnot to make them look a lot better. I know I harp on IE all the time, but IE does a terrible job at rendering. But that being said, Apple's Safari does a really good job too. So that's not really surprising. But native apps that are designed for a lower resolution screen, they are going to look terrible for a while. Like it's obvious why they. Kind of gave companies like Adobe the heads up and were like, you might want to update your stuff because it's going to look terrible and no
yeah.
one wants to buy it. So, but it's a MacBook. It's got a crazy good screen. It's the future. So get on board. You know, it's
okay.
also wicked expensive, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, a company trying to not how do I want to say it? So Waze is a navigation app that, you know, is in trouble potentially. because of the new iOS navigation app. Even though they're providing data, they released a new update that is going to give you real-time fuel prices.
Ooh.
Which they use Opus, which, let's see, if I click on this link, what happens?
Which is an ancient society of secret keepers.
It's the oil price information service, I guess, okay. Apparently, and you can report. So basically, and I've used apps that are kind of quasi-connected to this where, you know, you go to a gas station, you update the price, and then what's nice about it is if you're driving around, you could be like, hey, I'm looking for some fuel. Where's the cheapest one around? Then it, you know, pops them up on a map, and you go, cool, drive me there. And so now Waze has this in their turn-by-turn navigation app where you can search by category, pick fuel, and they won't just have the gas stations now. They'll actually also include their latest reported gas price for
nice.
You. So you can go get cheap fuel. Pretty cool. And it's the kind of thing where you look at it and go, they're just trying to find a way to differentiate themselves. Because, you know, for a while they were like, real-time traffic information. And now everyone else is like, guess what we have? Real-time traffic information. So, but maybe this is a thing. It's, you know, that's they're a sign. They're ahead of the curve, right? Eventually, you're going to have real-time traffic information. You're going to have, like, weather information. You're going to have gas price information. You know,
gas companies can't be happy about that.
Well, it depends on which gas company you are, right?
if you're Rotten Robbie's, and that's like, then your business model forever is.
If you're Arco, you're like, this is good. We support this app.
Yeah, really. Come on.
But anyways, I just think it's cool that they're, you know, they're like, we're gonna keep innovating. Which they've probably been working on this one for a while, and so they're like, well, now's as good a time as ever. Before we die, let's have a good.
Definitely.
Let's have a good update.
Before we die. Well, the nice part is I think the longer that they can stay around, because, you know, if they eventually fall, you know, as long as they're the back end for people like Apple, eventually they'll get bought by somebody bigger who doesn't have to stay keep making money just based off of that app. You know, because essentially Apple's.
I don't know how they make money though, because they're like free open source and. I don't ever see any ads, so.
Yeah. Weird. I don't know. They may not make any money. They might just be a Mozilla-esque company. Which would be pretty awesome. That would make sense for Apple to get involved with a company like that, where you know, where it's somebody who doesn't require commercial success in order to stay around.
Yeah, really.
So that's a good one.
But, yeah.
Cool. So one of my favorite parts about the tech industry is that you almost have to have no patience at all for just the you know, continual march of improved technology to be awesome. So basically, somebody did a big study and announced Thursday that the average price per gigabyte of solid-state drives has halved on average in the last 12 months.
Nice.
Yeah, so some companies have been able to drop the price as much as 65% of the price per gigabyte, but on average it's down 48%, so just a little under half price, or a little over half the price. So yeah, pretty big deal, because, you know, I feel like when we started talking about this, you know, we're like almost. So we've been doing this show for like 3/4 of a year. Yeah, so
39
this totally
weeks.
Makes sense. Yeah, when we started talking about this, because the air was just coming out, and we were saying, no, the cool part about SSD is that it's going to follow the trends of all micro, of all silicone-based stuff, and it's just going to get ridiculously cheap, ridiculously fast, and this is the way we're going to go, you know, and soon enough, yeah, obviously for like super big storage, you're going to go with disk storage, but the reason why things like MacBook Pros with only solid-state drives make sense, or operating systems like OS X that almost require solid-state drives, is because the price is just going to plummet as supply increases. And one of the big things that they said was that, like, the, you know, because of that big flood in Thailand that basically wiped out like a quarter of the world's supply of terabyte hard drives, like it basically jacked up the price on high storage hard drives, kept the only place where the price stayed the same was on low storage hard drives. And so people started like, well, if I get crazy good performance out of my solid state drive, and I was willing to spend a lot, but I'm not willing to spend as much as I need to get larger storage.
Yeah.
Basically what it did is it pushed demand onto that, which justified ramping up better technology. So now they're flooding the market with solid state drives, and you know, and everybody and their brother from OEMs are putting solid state drives and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, like best possible case, Moore's law times supply and demand, we get wicked cheap prices of this new technology. That's awesome. I love it. So I'm glad I didn't buy a computer a year ago, because I would want a solid state drive and would not have been able to afford one. But nowadays it's starting to look more and more like, you know, you can get better and better prices for this sort of stuff.
Cool. So
pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think my next computer will have a solid state, which would be like 5 years from now, so I got plenty of time.
And definitely. I want a new computer every like 17 days, so.
Wow, so, yeah. Pretty much any time I walk into Best Buy, an Apple store, heck, even Walmart, like, I could use one of those.
Actually. Yeah. I did that at Target today. I walked into Target and I was like, hey, look at this computer. Why? But
exactly.
So, speaking of tablet, we're a tablet happy day today. PC makers, they're keeping their hopes high. They basically, at this point, they are, what article's talking about, they're basically arguing that that the global slump in notebook sales is not actually due to tablets. It is entirely the recession. People are just putting off this. I'm not even going to get through this with a straight face. they're like, people are just not buying our $500 laptops because they don't have money. And they're just putting off the purchase, although they are buying $500 tablets instead. But they're making the argument that, they're making the proclamation, they're not making much of an argument, that it's because of the recession that this is the only reason why notebook sales are down. Which is just really difficult to believe, that's the case that's going on there. Obviously,
I think they're wrong.
Despite all the experts say, I think tablets are computers, and I think people, or one of their arguments was like basically people only buy tablets for entertainment purposes, and that's why they're buying these $600 tablets instead of $600 productivity machines. What? That doesn't even make sense. there's these non-essential, but they're willing to spend money on that because it's entertainment. And they're putting off their notebooks so that they can get entertainment devices. But I don't know.
I think it kind of points to, how do I want to say it? Like, I feel like they're overestimating the number of people who require productivity devices.
Yes, I agree. Obviously the recession has something to some big part of this, but I think that they are really, you know, they're just trying. I think it's almost like they're trying to, you know, there, so many people feel like, you know, Apple and Google and Microsoft coming on board are going to crush the notebook market, that they're like, what they're trying to do is trying to very loudly say, no, it's just the recession. Don't sell all of your stock and destroy our companies. Let us get through the recession before you do that.
I do think that, you know, Microsoft announcing Windows 8 also has an effect. I mean, if I were in the market for a computer, I'd be like, no, I'm waiting, period. I'm not.
Yeah, until they start offering free that, like, you get into that time frame where they offer free upgrades to the next operating system, I wouldn't buy a new one.
Yeah, even then though, I would be very hesitant just knowing all the big changes that are going with it. I'd be like, I would like to see this first before I get invested. I don't know. Yeah. It's tough. We'll know in December, right? I mean, that's kind of the, for me, it's like December, everything will be out. And, you know, maybe not December, maybe got to wait until January to get the sales numbers mm-hmm. back for Christmas. But, you know, that's when you'll know and you'll start to run out of excuses. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Jeez, man. Christmas is going to be a fun, or January, post-Christmas analysis is going to be fun this year because Windows 8, they're finally their mobile response, both their phone, their tablets, their, you know, that's all going to be out on the table. Google's going to have their, you know, they're firing on full, you know, full throttle, guns blazing, and, you know, Apple is just, yeah. you know, a behemoth with an enormous amount of momentum. You'll have the new Wii U out there. Oh, man, I cannot wait to see Christmas this year, like how the numbers pan out.
From the window outside, right?
Yeah, exactly, because I won't own any of this stuff. That's
cool.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Can you change the package a little bit? I want to see.
Can you bring it over here for me real quick? I just want to see it. Okay, yeah, rotate it. Perfect. Oh, wow. Okay, thank you. Next.
Yeah, really. Good times. Funny. We really need to get like 10 million listeners so people just send us this stuff for free to review for them.
Oh man, don't tempt me, Frodo.
You know, I would do this podcast for free if people sent us free tech stuff. You know,
good to know, because that's
just saying. Turns out I would do it for free even if people didn't send us tech stuff based on current evidence, but oh, I see what you're saying. You'll take all the profits, jerk.
No, I was saying you're kind of already doing it for free.
That's okay, all right. Okay, cool.
I gotcha. So tell me, I read the headline of this article, and that was about it, and just went, I love Larry Ellison.
Yeah, so Larry Ellison's a crazy dude.
He knows. He has refined crazy to an art.
Yes.
Or eccentric is maybe the word I'm looking for. There's so many occasions. I mean, you know, him going after HP, it's hilarious. Even as, you know, someone who's theoretically, technically attacking, you're just like, the guy's good. What can I say? He's crazy, and he gets away with it because he's wicked smart.
Yeah.
So what's this going on? What's he up to now?
So Larry Ellison is one of those billionaires that you always, like, you always imagine you would be this type of billionaire, where you'd be like, just, I've got an unbelievable amount of money. Why don't I do crazy things like, I don't know, buy a Hawaiian island? And that's exactly what he did. Well, sort of. It drives me nuts. People keep saying he bought a Hawaiian island. He didn't buy a Hawaiian island. He bought 98% of the property of the Hawaiian island, so it's not like he's like...
Oh, and it sounds like he bought it from a single guy. It's not like he rounded up all moms and pops.
It was Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch owned basically most of this island. There's a small group of indigenous, jeez. I don't think you can. There's a small group of locals who, you know, have been living there forever, and they live on that like extra 2% of the land, and then the rest of it is just like open farmland. There's like two hotels and two golf courses.
It was only $600 million.
Yeah, $600 million, and they don't think he paid that much. That was the asking price. They think he only paid like $300 million. I know, how cheap is that?
I don't know. He's the third richest person in the U.S.
I did not know that either.
He is worth a buttload of money.
Yeah, exactly. No wonder he can just slash. Hey, you know what? Let me write a people check. People are like, Murdoch wanted to sell it because he thought it would be the super exclusive resort island, basically is what he was envisioning, and was like, no, it's going to be like this. We're going to make tons of money. We're going to get the super rich to come there. I have a sneaky suspicion that Ellison, and everyone's like, Ellison has never had any interest in real estate, this sort of thing. Like, what is he doing? I think he just wanted to own a Hawaiian island. it'd just be cool to have in my portfolio of things that I own. And I guess he's really huge into sailing, and, you know, like, where better to sail than the Hawaiian Islands? It's like 9 miles off of Maui. This thing is ridiculous. Like, it's, you know, if I It makes perfect sense to me, having looked at none of the numbers, what he's doing.
So, so why only 98%? What's the other 2%?
Well, that's what I was saying, that they're the locals, that the people that have been there for generations and generations and generations. Yeah, I did say that. So they're
sorry.
I remember it was like the indigenous people.
Oh boy.
I don't think they're actually considered indigenous, but
I did hear you say that.
Yeah. So that's the 2%. But
I was busy reading because I'm just kind of in awe.
Yeah. Very cool.
This guy's 67 with $30 billion. So wait, he's the third richest. Carlos Slim, right. They're just in the U.S., so Carlos Slim doesn't count. Okay, all right.
Yeah, so he's the fourth in the world because, well, that's not necessarily true. Because Carlos is the first, Gates is the second, what's his name is, who's the third?
Come on.
Who's the other dude?
Best in stocks.
I know.
Berkshire Hathaway.
I know his company. And he's the dude who wants taxes more because we're rich.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the guy.
I don't know what his name is.
All right, I'm gonna let you let that bug you.
What the heck? That's
because I'm your brother. I can be an older brother. I'll tell you what. Why don't you do an image search of him, and see what pops up. And the reason why I say that is because Bing announced upgrades to their image search this week.
Warren Buffett.
Okay, he feels better now. I honestly couldn't remember either. That's why I couldn't tell you.
I totally bought the bullying older brother. You were convincing.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Years of practice. So anyways, Bing Image Search had some updates. And remember last week, I was dogging on them. And I was like, it's horrible. It's not as good as Google Image Search. They need to improve it. And so Bing comes out and goes, hey, we made some updates. And at first I was like, yeah, sweet. They listened to us. We're awesome. And then I actually checked it out and went, no, they didn't listen to us. Bummer. It's improved, I guess. I don't see it, to be totally honest. They're like, we made the images closer together. When you hover, it gives you a picture of it that's larger. And then you can filter by sizes, which is like large, medium, small, which I'm like, what is that? But when you do say for more sizes, it's still random order. You're just like,
Yeah, that's super frustrating.
It kills me. So they made updates and I don't get them. Come on, Microsoft. Your company in transition.
Yeah, I don't think they spend like... I gotta believe that of his week... What's his name? The dude in charge. Great.
Ballmer?
Steve Ballmer, yeah. I gotta believe that Steve Ballmer spends
I knew that one. See, I offered
20...
it up.
I feel like Steve Ballmer spends like 20 minutes a month on... on Bing Image Search, like, you know, just this is like not one of his things, you know. They're just doing, you know, if as long as it's like isn't totally being embarrassed by Google, we're good. Let's keep moving. Let's move on. You know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's talk about embarrassment for a little bit here.
Oh baby, this is my favorite part of the week. We still have not come up with a soundbite for our weekly RIM update. So RIM has I actually put this on Friday and then I realized they announced it this morning, which, you know, talk about trying to hide this one. They do not want people like paying attention to the fact that they're talking about this. But what they're talking about is splitting the company into two. Have you read my little synopsis on it, James? Yes, don't read it yet. If you haven't read it, don't read it.
No.
Okay. Tell me, I want you to guess. What two things are they going to split RIM into?
Software and hardware would make sense.
Okay. Actually, you got that quicker than I was. Well, I mean, you came up with something quicker than I was expecting. It's not right, but it took me I read the Honda and I was like, what in the world would you split the company into? It builds integrated phones. It's like it, but basically, they think that their one actual value proposition is the is their BlackBerry messaging service, BMS or whatever. Excuse me. What are
you talking
about?
IM, right?
Yeah, basically.
Text messaging, instant message. Okay.
Yeah, it's like they're integrated.
So let me get this straight. They brought in all these bankers. They had a big analysis, and they came out and said, we think BlackBerry Messenger is your real added value in the world.
Yep.
Okay.
We think the reason why nobody's buying... they think that the reason why the company is failing is because of hardware. And so basically what they're going to do is they're going to try to split them into two. And they're going to try to hold on to one of the two and sell the other. They haven't really gotten into it. I think basically... This is my prediction. They didn't talk a lot about it. Obviously, they don't. They wanted to be open about it, but they don't want anybody trading based on this information. They're just trying to bury it as best they can. But I really think that, not at all. Because of people like me who love watching this, basically, I think what's going on is somebody, and I won't name names because I don't know any, but somebody basically said, yeah, we'd be willing to buy this party, but we don't want the rest. We think the rest is, and I really think it's somebody decided that said, yeah, we'll buy the messaging service, but, and we'll pay, you know, a certain amount of it. So if that becomes if you were to just sell that off to us, we'd
take
it. Oh,
just the messaging.
We don't want the hardware.
So selling the messaging service. Oh, I thought they would.
Yeah, that's
keep
what
the messaging service.
Yeah, okay, that's right. What they're talking about selling.
All right. Well, okay.
The thing is, they're not specific about what they would sell.
Oh.
I'm guessing that that's what they would sell. And they would hold on to the hardware until it just was a complete collapse and could be absorbed into some other OEM who wanted to open up a factory in Canada for whatever reason. But it's just nothing against Canadians and Canada. I just, I hear it's cold. but yeah, that's. But they're so clearly on this trajectory to they're now not even it seems clear to me that at this point they're not even talking about saving the company. They're talking they are only talking about how to get the most value, and they think that they can by separating the two they can get the most value for the company by selling off the good parts and just letting the bad parts go into complete disarray and then just parting that out as junk.
I know that HP had that idea and it backfired, and then they said, "Never mind, we were just kidding," and is still reeling from that decision.
Which one was that? Buying Compact?
No, splitting off the PC division.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm still got a few months for my prediction to come true.
There's time.
They're helping me out. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I think they're gearing up for it as best they can. speaking of, we were talking a little bit earlier about Facebook and Google getting all sorts of cool data about you and knowing who you are, and you have this online presence that's that has a bunch of valuable information, especially if you're a identity thief. And Apple is one of they put Google and Facebook to shame when it comes to information that's valuable for identity thieves. All of your purchase history, they've got 400 million credit cards or whatever ridiculous number it is. They have an unbelievable amount of information that would be very valuable for people who are trying to track you, find you, and take advantage of you. So Apple, being ridiculously profitable, they can come up with cool solutions to try to protect you. One of the things that when you build a firewall, they call them honey nets. Basically, what you do is you have one computer that simulates has hundreds and hundreds of virtual computers on them, each with their own unique IP address. And so basically, when a virus attacks them, it's or looks for somebody to attack, you'll go and you'll get stuck in these honey nets, you know, all the regular users are so far outnumbered by all these virtual dummy computers that you're much, much safer within the firewall. So basically, Apple's going to do that, but like, instead of creating honey nets for within their networks, they're basically just going to release like hundreds of clones of you. They're going to take these. They're basically going to take a clone of you, and then they're going to subtly
change
all your. What
does that mean? Take a clone of you.
I'm not entirely sure. But I'm going to do my best to summarize what they describe. Yeah, make it up. Thank you. thanks for calling me out on that. but basically, what they're going to do is they're going to say we're going to create these like fake users within our system.
Wow.
They're going to have your name. They're going to have your address. Or similar address, or you know, they're gonna have a credit card number, but it's only gonna be similar to your credit card number. They're gonna have all this crazy information, and it's all gonna be kind of randomly generated. But from like just identifiable pieces of information, each one would lead you to believe that it's me. It just is a bunch of wrong information.
Huh.
And then they're gonna have those fake users go out and do things online, like connect through VPNs and do like FaceTime and do like all sorts of stuff. And they're gonna send these little fake packets of information as though it were you, you know, like what your iPhone and what your computer would normally do, but with your personal information.
Huh.
They're gonna have those things flying all over the place as though it's you. And they're basically gonna dilute your online presence so that you're just one of
Wow.
a bunch of virtual bugs out there that are doing stuff. And so anybody that actually finds you, it's like impossible to figure out if it's actually you or not. And anybody who's tracking this stuff would just have so much information, and it would be, you know, so much of it would be randomly generated. Basically, the only way to get any valuable real information would be to break into Apple servers and look at, okay, who is the real Matthew Furlow, which is, you know, at this point is proven to be virtually impossible, thank goodness. But just kind of a cool way to help protect their users and help protect your online identity on the, you know, the back of the internet. You know, it's kind of a neat little thing. And if it works, I'm sure you'll see Google and Facebook take similar measures to try to flood the world with, you know,
so,
fake information.
So it sounds like they got a patent for it, so they haven't necessarily implemented it, but they could.
I didn't mean to suggest they had implemented it.
Okay.
But kind of a neat idea.
Huh. Oh. It's a neat idea. Sounds complicated.
Yeah. Well, the nice part about computers is they, you know, it's relatively easy to write an algorithm that can do it, and then you can just have a computer do it a gazillion times a minute for the rest of time. So that's where they're going. And then this one kind of a follow-up to last week. Obviously, Google freaked out and had their lame announcement about all their new quote-unquote stuff in Google Maps. Then Apple, kind of in this preparation for Apple's completely expected bomb of getting rid of Google Maps and replacing it with their own map service. One of the reasons for that is Google charges for their service. If you like run a website that hits Google Maps, you get up to the first 25,000 calls, is what they call them, for free. And then after that, it was $4 for every 1,000. So Apple would go through like that first 25,000, like, you know, less than a minute every month. And so it was a very expensive service. Apple gets rid of it, and you've got all these like Waze and OpenStreet are coming out, these open source maps people. And so the question that everybody's begging, why would I stick with Google Maps when other services are better? So as a response, they have cut the prices by a little bit. So instead of paying $4 per 1,000 calls, you will play $3.50. Oh, wait, sorry, no. You'll only pay 50 cents per 1,000 calls. So they cut it by 8 times. A pretty huge slash of, and basically wow. what people said was like, you know, there's a certain operating cost, and it's almost as though they were making profit off of it, obviously at $4 per 1,000. And basically they said, okay, what is our operating cost for it? 50 cents. All right, that's what we're going to do. And, you know, and sort of this thing of, you know, cause they just lost, or they will, you know, by the end of the year, you know, if Apple keeps up their normal update cycles, they're going to lose 100 million users in over the course of next yeah. year as the
well, it's almost like they had it's funny. It's almost like they had the freakout moment, and so they said, let's hold the event, and then let's wait and see what Apple does. And we'll have this in our back pocket.
Right.
If what they show us wasn't that cool, we freaked out for nothing, you go, okay, fine, we'll keep the $4. But if what they have is actually looks legitimate, let's slash the price. Because, you know, it's like, why don't you announce this on that Wednesday event? Why wait?
Yeah.
Or why not do it at Google's I.O. developer conference? You know, and so,
yeah.
I don't know, it's just kind of one of those, they had it in the back pocket, and they're like, eh, we'll pull this out if we need it. And if anything, that says what Apple showed was legitimately good.
Yeah.
And they got to play around with it and went, okay, let's pull the trigger on this one. Let's do it.
Right. So, interesting. Huh. Yeah. You know, they at this point, I think they just want to keep as much market share as they can, you know, even if that means no longer making money, because they, you know, they have the long view on this kind of technology stuff. Get market share first, you know, pay your bills, whatever that costs, and then we'll figure out how to make money later. But, you know, they had a monopoly, basically, for the longest time, and now their monopoly is breaking in. And they're freaking them out, understandably. But so last thing I wanted to bring up is just kind of a heads up. Larry Page, he skipped out on a shareholders meeting on Friday because his voice wasn't he's having trouble with his voice, like lost his voice or whatever. And they announced that he wasn't going to be at the shareholders meeting. And then they also announced he won't be attending Google's I.O. because he lost his voice, and he won't be attending the Q2 conference call or earnings call in probably 3 or 4 weeks because he lost his voice. Wall Street is having the, like, knee-jerk Jobs said that he lost like 300 pounds or whatever it was, ridiculous amount of weight, because he had the common cold, like... we know when you're lying to us. and the concern is that Larry Page is not being quite as forthcoming about his health conditions as he probably should be.
So, okay, fine. He lost his voice, but why?
Yeah, exactly. It's entirely possible
that cancer that we should know about.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what everyone's freaking out about. They're like, "Wait a second, we could have another CEO die on us. We can't do this. Don't bring us on this emotional roller coaster." But the thing is it's like, it's probably what it seems to me is it's probably he's getting probably like a decently serious throat operation done. He's got something with his vocal cords. It's not as simple as, you know, he's just having a, you know, it's something that people have known about for a long time, but it's not, it might be invasive, but it's not a really, really big deal. You know, chances are he'll, yeah, so they hope. I doubt, you know, I don't know Larry Page personally, but I hope that they wouldn't have that he wouldn't try to pull what Jobs pulled, which was, you know, oh yeah, by the way, I'm dying and have known for the last 10 years, and I might not have mentioned that. You know, somehow it slipped my mind every time we talked about the stock.
Yeah.
You know, so, but just kind of an interesting, I have a feeling that in the next, I have a feeling that people are going to start tugging on the strings on this one and try to unravel it and figure out what's going on behind the curtains, and probably in the next couple of months we'll know more, but I wanted you to hear about it here first because nobody else is talking about it. So
there you go. Cool. So anything amazingly awesome going on with your life? I can see you're still babysitting.
I am still babysitting, but I am. His parents are coming home tomorrow evening, so I have to actually after this I have to pack up and move, get ready to move out.
Back to the storage closet.
I know, it's gonna be nice. I mean, everyone will feel familiar and whatnot. I've been doing a lot of writing lately, which has been kind of fun. You know, just doing my thing. Nothing too crazy. Trying to think if there's any awesome tech stuff, but can't think of anything. But so, no.
Nice. I have not been doing any cool tech things because we had some tenants move out of one of our rentals, and I make it sound like I have multiple. You like that?
Yeah. I did notice.
of our one rental. and so I've been fixing it up, which I got to replace some drywall, redoing a floor, and those are the two big interesting things. And nice. So, you know, I learned electricity, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, installed, you know, so I've been doing all sorts of manual labor stuff, losing weight in the process, so that's good. Getting outside, turns sunny in Oregon, we all go outside.
Who needs an app for that?
I know, exactly. That's your solution right there. Go outside and play.
Yeah.
Eat less. Oh, okay. But yeah, so that's kind of boring. Not sleeping a lot either as a result. Because, you know, I do have a job that I'm trying to do at the same time.
Yeah, sometimes.
I may not represent them right now, but man, Monday through Friday. I do.
Serious business.
I do. Cool. All right, cool. So we will be meeting again next week, whatever that date is, Sunday at 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Let me help you out here. Sunday the 30th. No, Sunday the 1st.
The 1st of July.
July.
And so you can always join us on a Google Plus Hangout / YouTube. I think it's / James Furlough for YouTube. And feel free to make comments. Correct us when we make a mistake because it does happen. I don't have any cool screens.
Yeah, usually it's people making fun of my pronunciation.
That's true. That's why I don't mind it. So
yeah, so have fun with that, I guess.
Yeah, so everybody, thank you for joining us. I am James Furlough. My brother is Matthew Furlough, and we will talk next time.
Welcome to episode 9 of the... Oh, jeez.
Episode 9. Woohoo! Throwback!
All right, take 2. Woo!